Reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter, the first 8 verses. Listen to God's word. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may have seen or heard this poem by Christina Rossetti. I think I've seen it on Christmas cards. It's entitled, Love Came Down at Christmas. Just a portion of it. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. Love shall be our token, love be yours and love be mine. Love was born at Christmas, love incarnate, love divine. Rick Warren, famous pastor and one of the most famous pastors in the United States, certainly, and perhaps the world, in his book, The Purpose of Christmas, has said this, the entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. Let me repeat that. The entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. We have already heard a couple of times this day that perhaps best known verse in all of the New Testament, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. For God loved you and me so much that he gave his Son. Jesus is the reason for the season, but behind that, God's love is the reason for all that we do in this season. The love of God is seen in the birth of Christ. That's what we're talking about. Christmas. Christmas means God loves us. God is for us. Rick Warren has also said that God isn't mad at us. He's mad about us. If you've read the book, The Shack, you know that one of the recurring themes is when God speaks about any person, God says, I'm very fond of that one. If you haven't read that book, you might want to give it a read. Isaiah 9, verse 2, from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah tells us, for a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Because God is for us, God comes to us in the person of Christ. The angel told the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born in the city of David, a Savior who is also the Messiah. It's for all, for us, and to you. Because God is for us, he comes to us in his Son. Well, I have a whole file of Christmas material that I pull out this time of year and look through, and stories from the past, and even though we hear them from time to time, it's good to repeat them. One year I told this story and somebody ended up giving me beautiful, beautiful Christmas ornament. Bob and Evie Norland gave me this beautiful Christmas ornament. I had to laugh because I had it paper clipped into where I was going to read from the scripture. That's why I was delayed for a moment. I caught myself off guard looking at it and just chuckling. It's geese. They brought this back from Nova Scotia. It's pewter and it's geese. And it's because one year, I'm going to tell it again, I told a story that Paul Harvey tells, or used to tell, about Christmas and about geese. And boy, if we want a real live lesson of reminder, all you got to do in any, almost any day in Cranberry is look up in the sky, look carefully, and you will see geese. Why Christmas? There was once a man who didn't believe in God, and he didn't hesitate to let others know how he felt about religion and religious holidays, like Christmas. His wife, however, did believe, and she raised their children to also have faith in God and Jesus, despite his disparaging comments. One snowy Christmas Eve, his wife was taking their children to a Christmas Eve service in the farm community in which they lived, just like Cranberry. She asked him to come, but he refused. "That story is nonsense," he said. "Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous." So she and the children left, and he stayed home. A while later, the winds grew stronger and the snow turned into a blizzard. As the man looked out the window, all he saw was a blinding snowstorm. Then he sat down to relax before the fire for the evening. Then he heard a loud thump. Something hit the window. Then another thump. He looked out but couldn't see more than a few feet. When the snow let up a little, he ventured outside to see what could have been beating on his window. In the field near his house, he saw a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they had been flying south for the winter when they got caught in the snowstorm and couldn't go on. I don't think our geese fly south for the winter, though, but that's another matter. They were lost and stranded on this farm with no food or shelter. They just flapped their wings and flew around the field in low circles, blindly and aimlessly. A couple of them had flown into his window, it seemed. The man felt sorry for the geese and wanted to help them. Again, that's unlike most of us around here. All right, I'll just keep reading. The barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. It's warm and safe. Surely they should spend the night and wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn and opened the doors wide, then watched and waited, hoping they would notice the open barn and go inside. But the geese just fluttered around aimlessly and didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but that just seemed to scare them, and they moved further away. He went into the house and came with some bread, broke it up, and made a breadcrumb trail leading to the barn. They still didn't catch on. Now he was getting frustrated. He got behind them and tried to shoo them in toward the barn, and only got a couple more scared and scattered in every direction except toward the barn. Nothing he did could get them to go into the barn where they would be warm and safe. "Why didn't they follow me?" he exclaimed. "Can't they see that this is the only place where they can survive the storm?" He thought for a moment and realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them," he said out loud. Then he had an idea. He went to the barn, got one of his own geese, and carried it in his arms. As he circled around from behind the flock of wild geese, he then released it. His goose flew through the flock and straight into the barn, and one by one, the other geese followed it to safety. He stood silently for a moment as the words he had spoken a few minutes earlier replayed in his mind. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them." Then he thought what he had just said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly, it all made sense. That is what God had done. We were like the geese, blind, lost, perishing. God had His own Son become like us so He could show us the way and save us. That was the meaning of Christmas, he realized. As the winds and the blinding snow died down, his soul became quiet and pondered this wonderful thought. Suddenly, he understood what Christmas was all about, why Christ had come. Years of doubt and disbelief vanished like the passing storm. He fell to his knees in the snow and prayed his first prayer. Thank you, God, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. Because God is for us, He has come to us in His Son. The incarnation, God taking on human flesh. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The love of God is seen in the birth of Christ. But the love of God is also seen in the death of Christ. One of the crazy things the Mitchell family does, when the kids were growing up, I always came up with little silly things. I used to tell the kids that I love them. And I said, I want to tell you how much I love you. I love you this much. But then I would say, when they'd look at me, is that it? That the scale is from one to there. Pretty stupid, isn't it? But nevertheless, that was a Mitchell tradition. Listen to Rick Warren with that in mind. Again, from his book, The Purpose of Christmas. These are his words. Because God's love for you is unconditional, He loves you on your bad days as much as on your good days. He loves you when you don't feel His love as much as when you do. He loves you regardless of your performance, your moods, your actions, or your thoughts. His love for you is unchanging. Everything else will change during your lifetime, but God's love for you is constant, steady, and continuous. It's the foundation for unshakable confidence. There is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. You could try, but you'd fail. Because God's love for you is based on His character, not your conduct. It's based on who He is, not what you've done. One potential problem of our annual Christmas celebrations is that many people only think of Jesus as a baby. Their conception of Him is only as a helpless newborn in His mother's arms. If Jesus had never grown up to do what He did, He'd have no power to transform our lives. But the baby born in Bethlehem did not stay a baby. Jesus grew to manhood, modeled for us the kind of life that pleases God, taught us the truth, paid for every sin we commit by dying on a cross, then proved that He was God and could save us by coming back to life. This is the good news. When the Romans nailed Jesus to a cross, they stretched His arms as wide as they could. With His arms wide open, Jesus was physically demonstrating, I love you this much. I love you so much, it hurts. I'd rather die than live without you. The next time you see a picture or a statue of Jesus with outstretched arms on the cross, remember, He is saying, I love you this much. Because God is for us, God has come to us in His Son. The scripture that I read from the Apostle Paul tells us that God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love, Paul says, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The gospel writer John in the first epistle, the first letter of John, chapter 5, says this, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Rick Warren's words were reminiscent, to me at any rate, of words that we had heard in the past from Philip Yancey about grace, about the definition of grace. In Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace, he says this, "Grace means there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. Grace means there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. Grace means that God already loves us as much as an infinite God can possibly love. God loves us this much." One of the books that has ministered to my own soul this season is by a Presbyterian poet by the name of Ann Weems. And I close with this poem entitled "The Cross in the Manger." If there is no cross in the manger, there is no Christmas. If the babe doesn't become the adult, there is no Bethlehem star. If there is no commitment in us, there are no wise men searching. If we offer no cup of cold water, there is no gold, no frankincense, no myrrh. If there is no praising God's name, there are no angels singing. If there is no spirit of Alleluia, there are no shepherds watching. If there is no standing up, no speaking out, no risk, there is no Herod, no flight into Egypt. If there is no room in our inn, then Merry Christmas mocks the Christ child, and the Holy Family is just a holiday card, and God will loathe our feasts and festivals. For if there is no reconciliation, we cannot call Christ Prince of Peace. If there is no goodwill toward others, it can all be packed away in boxes for another year. If there is no forgiveness in us, there is no cause for celebration. If we cannot go now even unto Golgotha, there is no Christmas in us. If Christmas is not now, if Christ is not born into everyday present, then what is all the noise about? For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.